This is a really, really good episode of the podcast. You guys can really get a lot out of this. You have to listen to the entire thing. The ending is really, really, really important. You're not going to get the full effect of the ending unless you listen to the entire thing all the way through.
Now tuned into the motherfucking greatest.
Welcome to the Cyclone Fanatic Podcast. Your weekly look inside Iowa State, the sports scene, pop culture, and...
You know what? Forget this. When's the last time these guys ever stayed on topic?
About anything. The Cyclone Fanatic Podcast is powered by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse Real Estate is real estate redefined. Learn more about Charterhouse Real Estate on the forums of Cyclone Fanatic or charterhouseiowa.com.
It's a new beginning.
And now, please welcome your hosts, Chris Williams.
Are you not aware that I get farty and bloated with a foamy latte?
My mistake, Shackleton.
Your mistake indeed.
Mark Charter.
Because only one thing counts in this life. Get them to sign on the line which is dotted. A always B B C closing. Always be closing.
And Adam Gradham.
There is one person in every group of friends that nobody fucking likes.
Welcome to the podcast. I am back.
Williams is back.
This is Adam's idea. Is Eminem going to swear or anything coming up?
I hope so. It's just good to see you again, buddy.
It's good to be back.
It's been a month.
Yeah, it has been a month.
He's not going to swear on my watch.
We're back at the Charterhouse Real Estate World Headquarters here in Ankeny.
Man, it's been a while. Williams hasn't been here forever. I had Ebola for a week.
You did? How are you feeling?
What happened to you? I heard you were just crapping everywhere.
Oh, man.
See, I was nice enough not to go there for him last week.
Dude, I was in Kansas City for the Big 12, and the morning that we came back, which was Sunday, I woke up just not feeling quite right, but we drove home. About halfway through, I'm like, I need a nap. I don't feel good. So I had the wife drive the rest of the way, and I kind of slept a little bit. And as soon as we hit the driveway, I did the sprint inside. Like, we had timed it just right. And for the next probably 4 days, I probably had conservatively probably 20 to 25 bathroom episodes in which I would sit. And the whole thing lasted 20 seconds. I mean, it was just straight faucet.
Yeah.
Straight faucet.
Like colonoscopy type?
Sounds like Williams 2015.
So Williams whole 2015. So whatever it was, I ate something down there. Somebody poisoned me. I'm not sure, but it totally.
This was in KC?
It started in KC, yeah. So it totally flushed me out and wiped me out for 4 or 5 days. And now I'm back. I'm good. So
you lose some LBs, you know, get slammed.
I had to have. I never looked, but yeah, I had to have. I mean, I wasn't eating, and I was doing all that, so I'm sure I dropped 5 pounds easy.
Do you think it was like a – was it like a virus or food poisoning?
I don't know because I'm not a doctor guy. I don't go unless I feel like I'm dying, which means I don't go very often to the doctor. So I didn't go to the doctor. I just said, you know what? I'm going to let this thing run its course. Drank a lot of Gatorade.
Pedialyte?
No Pedialyte, but a lot of water, a lot of Gatorade. Tried to replace those electrolytes, you know, and eventually got the appetite back and good now, just in time to go to Mexico next week where I can get it again.
KC did a number on me, too. I had another one of my weird illnesses. I didn't miss any work or anything. So when I got back from KC, I had the absolute worst sore throat of my life.
Yeah.
I've had strep throat before. This was like 10 times worse.
Wow.
And I went to the doctor, and they're like, oh, I went to urgent care that Sunday after KC because I knew I was going to be leaving again on Tuesday. I'm like, I need an antibiotic or something.
Yep.
And they gave me one, and it really wasn't – they didn't know what was wrong with me or anything. So I went to the doctor again on Tuesday right before I left because it was getting worse. And I had like 13 – they counted canker sores in the back of my throat.
Ow. Canker sores are like usually we get from orange juice and stuff. Like
I don't know.
Tongue.
It was it was horrible. Like I didn't have any other symptoms.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like I had a fever or anything. Like I just couldn't swallow or anything.
Yeah. Probably played off your pica. You eat a lot of weird stuff, and
maybe it was cuts in your throat.
It was bizarre.
From paper.
So. Just a bizarre deal, but Adam, have you been healthy?
I've been very healthy, but I continue to drink scotch, and as you guys know, like
maybe that's what I need to do.
Man, I don't do the scotch thing, but you've got me going on the bourbon tonight.
Solid, isn't it?
You
don't feel as bad as you do if you drink beer. You don't feel as heavy.
Yeah, I'm doing Blanton's about every night now, but the problem is I'm running out. And
is that a problem?
That's a hard bourbon to get your hands on.
You can help yourself to the Malort.
Did you see that picture I sent to you?
Yeah, you found it in a bar.
So, St. Patty's Day, Gray, it was after I left you. And remember, we were going to all those little house bars,
yep.
Right? So, Gray, or Charter, you would have thought these were cool. These bars in like the – it's like the – it would be like old downtown Milwaukee, I guess. It would be the residential area of it. It reminds me of driving around the – campus in Ames, like the houses, you know?
Yeah.
There's this whole area where there are these house bars. They're two-story homes in the middle of these neighborhoods, but they've been turned into bars. It's a total, like, PBR, Bush Light, like, it's a real blue collar.
But they're not someone's house that they happen to run a bar. It's a bar.
It's a bar.
Okay.
Yeah.
You sent me a picture of you drinking a Bush Light.
Yeah. I finally found it. It was phenomenal. And this place we were at had these Malort posters all over the wall.
Malort. Yeah.
So I had to take a picture for Charter.
It was an official Malort.
Did you take
poster.
A picture and send it to him of you urinating at all?
No, I've kind of been off that.
You've done that before.
That's I mean
there was no Little Williams in the picture, but
no, I don't
tell what you were
I
doing.
Don't put my penis in the picture. It's just the stream.
Can't zoom in that far.
I did do that to Milwaukee chief meteorologist Mark Baden this weekend.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Nice guy.
It's kind of moved on to him.
He called me a pansy. Met him for the first time. I left you guys. And
Baden. That's a total Baden move.
I think he might have actually – it might have been a little bit meaner than pansy, but you guys can
figure
out
what it was.
So
that's Murphy's best friend,
yeah.
Right?
Correct.
Nice guy.
Baden's the guy – so he's like the Ed Wilson of Milwaukee.
Oh.
He
so he's got followers and groupies?
Yeah, well, everywhere we went.
Yeah.
We were with him two nights there, and everywhere we went, like, hey, it's Baden.
Did he get drinks bought for him? Was it that level of stardom?
Oh, yeah. Well, he allegedly controls the roof at Miller Park.
Really?
So, like, if it's going to rain, he'll be like, hey, Baden will, like...
The Baden button.
Baden will push the button, and it'll close the roof.
Does he hang out at all the Brewers games then? Is he always there?
The power you would feel when you push that button would be amazing.
Yeah. I mean, but anyways, we had fun with meeting him. You would have liked him, Mark. He's right in your wheelhouse. Metrosexual.
He's a little bit edgy. He says some stuff.
Yeah, you would like him.
He says some stuff that makes you cringe a little bit.
Well, he used to be in Des Moines.
Yeah.
Way back in the day.
20 years ago.
Yeah, way back.
I don't remember the name. I mean, I've been around Central Iowa.
I bet your dad might know him. I mean, I don't know. He was on Channel 5. I don't know if people used to watch Channel 5 back then or not.
I thought he said he'd been in Milwaukee 18, 19 years.
Yeah, it's
like
been almost two full decades.
Channel 5, we are Iowa. God, that station's bad. Sorry.
I like a lot of the people who work there, so I'm not going to say anything.
Hey, it's not their fault. You know, they just don't put money in it or something. It is what it is.
So
Baden was good, and then you guys stayed. Did you stay at the Haunted Hotel?
No, Gray's the one who stayed at the Haunted Hotel. Now, I went ghost hunting one night, and I...
Officially? Like a ghost hunting
Well,
tour?
I went to a place that was supposedly haunted, and Travis Hines went with me, and... Hines is a great sport. I don't think Hines is truly a believer, but like Hines followed me around and like gave me moral support as I was searching for the ghost of the Pfister. And
what a horrible name, by the way.
Yeah, well,
insert joke here.
Sir Pfister.
You know.
Barely knew her. Sir Pfister, I could not get him to appear, but Gray was haunted multiple times.
Allegedly.
Over the weekend.
So
have you heard about Gray's haunting?
Yeah, but the thing with hauntings is that they seem to happen in obviously just any old building. Like any building that's really old.
Because they make weird noises.
People say, oh, that's a haunting. But
Not necessarily.
This is interesting because I'm torn on this. Ghosts. Do I believe in ghosts?
It does.
I'm way on the fence on this. Let me ask you this. So I'm way on the fence. So okay. Do I believe in ghosts as in Scooby-Doo, ghosts floating around being scary? No, I do not. Do I believe in that you can have things like in the spiritual world, like call them demons or whatever? Yeah, I do think that exists in some people.
That's what I'm talking about.
But what's weird is I was watching the dude that hosts Family Feud, trying to blank on his name.
Steve Harvey.
He has a show, talk show, and he has this kind of this clairvoyant person that comes on. She's from Brooklyn. She's really good at this stuff, and she's one of those people that talk to the dead. Supposedly, right?
Allegedly.
And she goes around.
She's Whoopi Goldberg.
She goes around to the audience, and this could all be planted. I don't think that it is necessarily, but she goes around and she says, "You lost somebody recently."
Do you remember that John Edwards guy?
Yeah, he was same thing. Yeah. But and then she'll say like, "It was your child, right? And your child's telling me that it's okay to let him go, and that like you smell his clothes a lot, and he sees you doing that, and you know all this stuff. It's creepy." It's freaky. Yeah. I don't know how it happens. Is it real or is it all scam? So I don't know where that...
There's probably a combination of both, in my opinion.
Because you can ask some general questions. I can go up to you and say, you probably have lost someone you loved, right?
You lost somebody of cancer.
That's a very generalized question. But when they start to get really specific, it's like, okay, did that person happen to talk to a producer before the show? And the producer has now told her?
I think some of them are scams. Yeah.
So I don't know where I fall on that. I mean, it's iffy.
Well, Gray definitely got haunted. He had an experience with the paranormal.
Well, you told me you got scared by your own television. You did tell me that.
Nah, you know.
It's all right. If you don't want to...
Startled, maybe. Right. Startled be a good word.
If you don't want to go through, it's fine. We can talk basketball.
Well, if people want to listen, they can pull up the podcast from KXNO, and they can listen to that.
You don't want to go back through the painful memories?
No, I'll talk about it if you want to.
Of your hauntings.
I mean, I thought there was somebody in my room. I stood up. I turned on my flashlight. Yeah. I looked around, and I'm not one to ever do that in a hotel. I stay in hotels plenty of times by myself, but I thought there was someone in my room.
Lights flickering.
Light right above my head. No joke, right above my head. As soon as I start talking about ghosts, boom, off.
Really?
Back on.
And
old building.
And friend yep. of Cyclone Fanatic who works there confirmed that the hotel is haunted.
He said that, you know, I don't think he's a believer, but there have been people, I believe, that have gone down and said, you either need to move me rooms or I'm checking out right now because there's some
shenanigans happening.
Yeah. I did a little research on this place. And
is it backed up?
Well, it was listed by one, like, blog, and it, who knows, it could be straight fake news.
Yeah.
But it...
Was it on CNN?
It was, oh, man, you're going to get people stirred up. It was listed as... top five haunted places in Milwaukee, more haunted than the Pfister.
Yeah, I know.
So when you're looking at a haunted place, in your opinion, what would make it haunted? To be haunted, doesn't somebody have had to die there?
83 people died in a fire.
This place, yeah. This place burned to the ground. And so one of the theories in paranormal activity is like I wasn't kidding about this, about the new construction thing. So a lot of times, like, so, like, that place burns down and then you rebuild. It supposedly fires up the spirits because it's changing everything.
Their final resting place is being disturbed.
Correct. That's why a lot of times, like, they would say, whatever,
So, do you know the hotel? I don't think it's where Iowa State stays in Kansas City now, but Crown Center. Down there.
Yeah.
Not the one that you stayed in, which was whatever one that one, but the one close by.
That's the Hyatt that you're talking about, I think.
Okay, whatever hotel that is that I know Iowa State used to stay in, that hotel, many years ago, back in maybe the 80s or whatever, they had a skywalk in that hotel or a landing area that collapsed. And they're having a big party there, a lot of people there, and like one of the levels collapsed down onto the level below. And a lot of people died. You can Google this, look it up. And obviously since then they've renovated and stuff. So in theory, that hotel should be haunted.
Renovations generally stir up spirits.
Good to know. I'm never touching my house. Leaving it alone.
We should really get Velisca Johnny to come here onto the podcast.
Yeah, so Williams has got some buddy of his. Acquaintance.
He oversees the Velisca Axe Murder House. My dad fertilizes him.
Who says
fertilizes
that
the house?
The ghosts have now left the Villisca place, and now we're at his house.
Oh, they traveled with him? They got his truck?
No, but they just, like, they're so tired of tourists and stuff that they've finally rested in his upstairs.
I can never tell if you're serious about this stuff. I literally can't. I wonder if this, like, this long played out joke of yours.
Have you been to that house yet?
I've never stepped foot in it.
Would you go and would you spend the night?
His house or the Villisca house?
No, the Villisca axe murder house.
I thought you'd been there. You've never been?
I've been there, but I've never stepped foot in it.
Too scared?
No. I have respect for the afterlife.
Okay.
And
Those are just kids.
The guy's kids talk to these ghosts.
Well,
now.
One of the boys, yeah, supposedly, allegedly.
I don't know if this is
allegedly.
If you're ever having a slow sports day and you want to be mean to like the rookie Jared or something, send him out on this story. I always thought it'd be an interesting story. go around.
What kind of a boss do you think?
Go around to houses. Like I can think of a few up in Ames where I'm from, and I'm sure there's plenty down here where murders have occurred, and like in the house. And knock on the door and ask the current owner if they know what happened in their house and then get reaction to the story.
I have one other deal just like that where a friend of mine, and I actually have heard stuff in this house before but never like seen anything or anything.
Yeah.
But my friend and her mom actually moved because of this house. This is in Clarinda.
They thought it was that haunted?
Well, they actually hired people from like Omaha. Like actual investigators.
Ghost hunters?
Yeah. Well, they do more. They do like research on the house to see what could be going on here.
Yeah.
And some guy had committed suicide. He shot himself at the top of the staircase.
Yeah.
Like however many years ago. And the thing you always hear in that house is somebody like, it's like they're falling down the stairs. And that's what they would always hear.
Now, are you one of those people that thinks if you dig deep enough, you'll find a logical explanation? Like...
Well,
as an example, Grace Hotel, more, flickering lights, bad electrical.
Yeah, it could be because it's an old building. Like, I'm not the guy who, like, I think if there's 1,000 people telling a ghost story, more often than not, 990 of them are probably, you can explain away.
But I also think that.
I don't think everybody's crazy, though.
I think that our minds definitely play tricks on us. An example of that is when you're home in your house with your family and you're having a normal night, et cetera. You're probably going through that night and not hearing any strange noises or anything. It's just normal. Yeah. If everyone's gone and it's just you and you're laying in bed, you start hearing stuff.
I agree. Differently. Once your mind can play tricks on you.
You know?
No doubt about that.
I was the other night Kate was gone and the kids were asleep and I was hearing weird stuff and I'm like, what is that? And it's nothing because my dog would be barking if something was really going on and she wasn't.
Dog's still kicking?
Dog's still kicking. Cat's down.
That's a shame.
Troubles no longer.
He took
this.
A video of it.
What?
Of the cat being put down.
Shut up.
No. So here's
why would you do that?
Here's the story. So that's I go.
Horrible.
We debated the cat for a long time.
Because it's a terrible thing to like when you have to watch.
Here's the deal. So we debated for a long time whether to put the cat down. She was probably relatively healthy, but peeing on beds.
Yeah.
Puking a lot. Causing damage. So we finally got to the point. She was 14. Finally got to the point where it's like, it's time. And it was Kate's cat. She bought Trouble from a shelter in Omaha when Trouble was a baby. So it was Kate's cat. She didn't have the heart to do it. So I was the axe man. I decided that, you know, I have to be the one to take him to the vet. And I'd never done that before either. New experience for me.
Did it poop?
No. So I got there. We had a good ride up to Huxley where we went. And by the way, an interesting difference in some vet clinics, and you know this because your wife's a vet, before they'll put your animal down, they want to look them over, basically, and find out if they're healthy or not. They basically want to dictate yes, we will, or no, we won't, based on health. Up in Huxley, they don't give a crap. They didn't ask any questions. They're like, yep, we'll do it. We'll take your $100 and do it. So that's why we went there, because we didn't want to have to go through the exam. So anyway.
He's making me look so good right now.
So we get up there, and I this was funny because we go back into the room, and there's the vet and like a vet tech or something like that, and I get my phone out, and then I'm like, I'm gonna go ahead and film this because my wife might want to see it later. You know, it's one of those things like what happened and how did she react and whatever. I'm like, I'm just gonna film this anyway. So he's like, okay, okay. And then he gets the lady from the front desk to come hold the cat because she's better at it or something like that.
I can't believe he filmed it.
So he so she comes in and he turns to her and he's like, yeah, he's going to film it. and then he says for the first time to her, he's like, yeah, we've never had that happen before. this guy's been in business like 20 years probably doing this. I'm like, a lot of people probably do this. Apparently nobody does. Apparently no. I was the first one to do this. So
my God.
So I filmed it and then I texted to Kate. I said, just in case you want to watch this, you know, here you go. And she did. She actually watched it. Made her sad. And the good thing is, it's a very peaceful process.
Well, it is. The drugs that they have to do it with.
It's almost immediate. Yeah. You know, they go. They give them they basically put them anesthesia, and that takes a hold 3 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, and then I left, and then I think they go back in and they do a second drug after that.
And you're bringing back painful memories, Mark.
So trouble's gone. It was sad, but it's nice to not be cleaning up puke and cat piss and all of that stuff.
Trouble's gone, just like the Iowa State basketball season.
Oh, that was just as bad, man.
It's a great transition.
That's what I do. I'm a pro, Adam.
That was just as bad.
I mean, come on. You don't get to the point where every Thursday you got a 10:30 at the Charterhouse Real Estate offices doing a podcast with you jackasses unless you're a pro.
Unless you're a big-time pro.
That's true. That's true. I appreciate you even more after I had to do it last week without you.
By the way.
Yeah, you and Ted Flint did the podcast. That was your first miss, Mark, ever?
No, I had missed before.
Oh, he missed one other time.
Yeah, I am reminded, by the way, every time we do these, I'm in the zone with these. I think it's just us talking.
That's what it is.
Well, I know it's just us talking, but I forget, and I'm occasionally reminded that people, you know, like the ones that are doing it right now, listen to this. Like I went to our smoothie shop the other day, Juice Company, by the way,
Juice
not
Company
paying
Cafe.
Us, but Juice Company just down the road from our office, and Corey down there was saying that he was just talking to their delivery driver.
Yeah, that guy's a huge fan.
He's a big fan, and I run into people like, oh, I listen, and then I'll hear like. Somebody I know will say, oh, my dad listens to it or whatever. I'm like, damn, people listen to this.
So I got a ton. One of the cool things about March Madness is I get to meet all these people. And I'm at the hotel after Iowa State wins the Big 12 championship in Kansas City. And I will say I bet I had 25 to 30 people tell me they love the podcast throughout the 2 weekends in Kansas City and in Milwaukee. I had this drunk old guy. He's talking to me at the bar. At the Marriott about how much he loves Cyclone Fanatic. Can't stand that goddamn podcast, though.
I love it.
Hey, but is he listening? Apparently he's listening.
Yeah,
Shout out to that guy.
He doesn't like our shenanigans, apparently.
I sit down at the Big 12 at one of the games. It was a championship game, I think. I'm there with our buddy John Olson and the wives. Well, not his wife, but his girlfriend.
Whoever he's porking at the time.
And like six rows down, my wife loves it when this stuff happens. And by love it, I mean she hates it. She thinks it's so stupid. But six seats down, someone says, Mark! And I look down and a guy who I don't know says, love the podcast, man. Love the podcast. I said, and I literally said, and you guys don't think I drink any beer. I said, great, buy me a beer. And he goes, here. And he hands me his full one that he just bought. I drank it.
You took it?
Yeah. Hell yeah, I did. Hell yeah.
Mark isn't too proud.
So, by the way, thank you for that beer. I think I thanked you at the time.
Did I just look over? Are you live betting golf today?
No, I'm not live betting. I'm betting on a specific match. It's not live betting, though.
Oh, okay.
Gray is a degenerate of truest form.
You have a problem. It's match play. It's one-on-one. I'm betting one-on-one golf.
To each their own, buddy.
What are you staring at my computer for?
Because I just looked over and I saw you were on the website.
He was doing a porn check. That's what friends do.
Allegedly. Live betting.
It's what friends do.
So,
you probably don't share your computer as much, but every once in a while I go to a meeting, and I admit I'm a guy. I've looked at porn in my lifetime. but I'll want to show a client something on my computer, and I'm in a meeting, and I'm just absentmindedly haven't looked.
Clear your history?
Yeah, I haven't cleared anything, but I usually have tabs open at the top.
Oh, and it's like.
So every time I open my computer, I got to do this quick scan with my eyeballs. I'm like, oh, okay.
You got like the hub up or
something?
Yeah,
whatever it might be. I'm like, do you go through that moment where you're like, man, I hope something's not open here that shouldn't be open. Gray, of course, never. Well, Gray never looks at porn, so he wouldn't.
It's really difficult anymore too, because like I just realized this. So I got a new computer in like right around Christmas.
Yeah.
And I gave my wife my old one. Well, it's still attached to like my Apple ID and everything. Yep. So everything that's on my desktop appears on her desktop and vice versa.
Ooh.
Because, like, I have a ton of crap open. There's certain times I'll have, like, 25 pictures and, like, four videos that I, like, yeah.
We're still on porn? We're still talking about videos and porn?
No. No, well, I'm getting there. So my point is, though, like, because she texted me when I was in Kansas City, and she's like, my desktop is just is all – because, like, when I'm covering those tournaments, like, I don't delete anything until the end of the weekend, whatever. But, like, if you – like, so if Mark and Katie had this setup and Mark has been surfing porn, like, that tab could pull up on her computer just by her type. Like, what's your favorite porn site, Mark?
Well,
why are we doing this?
Allegedly, there's a few good ones out there.
All right, so, like, if it starts with porn,
so xvideos.com, is that
Katie's trying to find, like, Pottery Barn.
This is the
if
lowest.
If she types in PO, like, that's going to pop up.
Yeah. This sounds like something that's happened to you.
I'm so embarrassed.
No, it hasn't. I'm just saying, like, because
the worst case scenario is you think you're clear. Now, if you allegedly visit a porn site, they're well known for putting pop-ups on your screen, right? So if you go to a site, a pop-up might appear behind what you can see. So it'd be on the desktop. So if you minimized it, you might see something there, but you're not going to see it.
All right.
So if you did that and then, like, increased your volume and didn't know there was a pop-up behind you, you could, like, hit your volume button for a client, and then you hear, oh. That would be an embarrassing situation. What was that?
I really was trying to talk about Iowa State basketball. I don't know how we got here.
This is better.
We've had a lot of low points in Fallcast history. That one ranks right near the top.
This is better.
We should have just.
I'm embarrassed to be on the show.
We should just
give
him Gray the week off. Just let Charter and I.
It's guys. This isn't even 10:30. It's 9:09.
Do you have any? Do you have any bad porn memories? I remember very specifically.
We have to stop this conversation, Mark.
No, I remember very specifically. I was at. This is ironic. I was at church camp. There was a week in the summer where I'd go up to church camp.
You're at church camp.
Clear Lake.
Is a porn memory.
No, Clear. So I was in Clear Lake. It was part of an affiliation with the church I grew up in. We'd go for a week and it was fun. I remember there was a family visit night.
Looks like this church really did a number on you.
Family visit night. So my sister drives up. You know, she's 4 years older, so I was probably 12. She's 16, 17 at the time, something like that. And she drives up and. You know, I'm excited to see her. I haven't seen her in a while, et cetera. And she says, by the way, Mom found your porno mags under the mattress. She's not very happy about it. So the rest of my night was ruined because I was worried about having to face Mom when I got home. But
did you get grounded?
Probably. And that wasn't the only time Mom found my stash. There was at least another time.
Well, she didn't. Did she destroy it the first time?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I found,
she gave,
I
it,
found,
to your, she
I
gave
found,
it to your dad.
I found new inventory.
What are you going
to
do the first time you find Jake with it?
That's a good question. I don't know.
Well, you probably won't because it's all internet now.
Well, you could search his history.
Yeah. I think that's – hey.
I'm still far away from
right
that.
Right or so. Wrong, it's a pretty natural part of growing up. There's some curiosity there that I think most boys experience.
Can we please talk about basketball now?
Please.
That's a good thing about having a daughter. You're probably not going to find a porn stash.
Yeah, she's not going to care.
Girls typically don't go that route.
No. Nope.
So, I don't know. Yeah, feel free to talk about basketball.
How many times was the word porn said today?
40.
Is my face red? Because it feels like it's on fire right
Quit
now.
Quit being a prude. Let's just talk. Okay. Well, what is your problem?
Do you know what percentage of our podcast male listeners look at porn? I can tell you officially. 99% and the other 1% liars. As they say. So,
Charter's on fire today.
Welcome. You know, it's people that deny it.
I love it.
I hate people that deny it. Everybody, not everyone's addicted.
I don't even
not
care.
Everybody looks every day. I'm not saying that. But people are like, I've never looked at porn. You are a liar. You are a liar, sir. And I will tell that to your face.
It bothers me more like Gray's just trying to act like Mr. Innocent over here. It's like, come on.
Gray's definitely looked at it before. Gray just doesn't
Gray
like
probably
it.
Hey, looked at it yesterday.
Here's the thing, fellas. Have I had sexual relations with my wife? Absolutely. Do I sit here and talk about it and tell everyone?
We wish you would.
No, but there's certain things in
I don't
life
talk about it. Mark
that
does.
Don't need to be discussed.
Gray and I are going to Mexico at the end of next week.
Yeah, I hear this is going to be quite the trip.
We're going to – he's going to get totally annihilated, and he's going to tell some stories. I'm gonna hear some stuff from Gray.
Will you have internet down there?
You've been to Vegas with me twice.
You don't get annihilated there, though.
Will you videotape Gray being sloppy?
If he gets that drunk, absolutely.
Nice.
Yeah, I'll pull out the camera.
So, okay. Let's finally get it. 30 minutes in. I feel like we should probably talk because the Sweet 16 starts tonight, and I won't lie, when Iowa State loses every year, like I always want them to keep winning. It's a little bit like of a just very in a selfish manner, kind of a relief because it's a long season. However, like I was so unprofessional in my mind. I think I held it together physically. That sucked, that locker room on Saturday night. Saying goodbye to those, like
we don't get to see that.
God,
so,
like
so,
Naz, like it,
everybody crying, kind of a thing.
No, because every guy deals with it differently.
Yep.
Naz, as you would expect, by far the most emotional.
Yep.
He's kind of the Niang of this year's team. Monte has a very nonchalant way of playing it off, and Monte will. Well, we gave it our best. Matt was full of tears. The guy who I really in a weird way hate seeing go is Deontay, because it's like we're just starting to see his
good. Deontay showed up for his last game.
We're just starting to see like how good that guy could be. Like it just took him a while to come into his own, and it's like the other guys. It's like, man, they've done a lot of really good things here, and there's probably not a lot they can look back on and have regrets. Damn, like. If Deontay had one more year, how good could that guy be?
Deontay had a nice because this whole season, you haven't heard, at least I haven't, jack squat about Deontay Burton playing in the NBA. I mean, you didn't hear a lot about that. Maybe he still won't, but he had a hell of a good audition.
It's still an uphill battle, but at least he opened some eyes, I think, against Swanigan.
His problem's going to be his size. He's 6'4", 6'5". I mean, that's
the only good thing he has going for him, and we said the same thing about George last year, is just the NBA is constantly evolving.
Yeah.
So guys like him have a better shot than they did 10 years ago.
And even though he's 6'4", his wingspan's 7 foot, which makes him taller than he really is.
I liked, and you commented on this, Chris, I liked how Prome, in a way, took ownership of those guys, which was cool to see him do that when he said, those are my guys. I mean, Fred, they were Fred's guys, but like, he brought him along this last 2 years, and obviously.
Are you referencing the video I put on Twitter?
Yeah.
I had so many people respond to that, and I wasn't really even anticipating this, but I had so many people be like, "Wow, he's my coach now. Like he just won me over." Like, and that was surprising to me that just hearing him make a 20-second comment could do that to people.
Well, not only that, but there's been recent comments having to do with contracts and other schools and stuff with him saying, you know, he's happy in Ames. He wants to be in Ames. I believe him.
I think he could have had LSU had he wanted it.
Now, and the whole time he moved from Murray, Kentucky, right, to Ames, Iowa, I just don't see, unless it's a money grab, saying I'm going to go to Baton Rouge, Louisiana. That's not anywhere close to the same environment for a family. And having literally about to have a second child and having a young kid, I think that matters to him and will for the next foreseeable future. But it's coaching.
Yeah.
So
I'll say this about Steve. He truly is unlike any coach I've ever been around. Like, there's been other good guys. Like, it's not like – but he is – I mean, Adam, you've been around him some too.
Yeah.
He is a different cat. Like, in a – I used to think it was weird when I first met him, to be honest with you. He is a man where, like, where most of us would get a big head or get – that stuff doesn't infiltrate his brain. He is – like, the whole, like – you can have opinions on whatever you want about Christianity and religion, but, like, that – none of that is fake. Like, you'll see a lot of these SEC coaches, you know, they use it as
– Calipari.
Yeah, and I'm talking more like football, you know, like they'll interview him after a game and the first thing they do is God and, like him and Neil, like, that's just how they live. They don't cuss.
Yeah.
They don't drink. They are as humble in real life as they come across in the media, and it's really refreshing. I mean, I'm a big fan of the guy. I'm a really big fan of the guy.
I really liked seeing the players interact with him at the end of the year. You could tell
it was so cool.
You could tell they genuinely loved him.
Yeah, which was like,
and they loved Fred, but the way they love Fred, like Fred was like, that's my dude. Like, that's a cool guy.
Yeah.
Like, Prome was a, I love you, man.
And they love Fred like you're going to get me to the NBA. Like,
yeah, I mean, they love both of them, but I just – it seemed very authentic. Like, just – you know what I'm saying? Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely know what you're saying.
Yeah.
You know what it reminded me
of a little bit? And I know we talked about this a month ago, probably the last time you were on the podcast. Remember when we were talking about Paul Shirley? But
yeah.
When Eustachy was coaching Fizer's last team, I'll never forget, at timeouts at the end of games, Fizer and a couple other guys, as Larry's coaching, would put their arm around Larry, and they'd sit there. And I think they might have been afraid, but they genuinely loved the dude, too.
Yeah. No, that's a good comparison, just in a totally different way.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, I'm not – those guys are – you couldn't have a complete opposite between those two. But I don't know. You just don't see it very often, in my opinion, where a guy gets up from the podium, leaving a press conference, and gives Prohm a hug before he leaves.
I think that's why Deontay turned into the guy that he did. Like, I think that's why Royce White was so good in Ames, and he hasn't been anywhere else, because he trusted the hell out of Fred and Abdul Massey.
Absolutely.
He knew that those guys had his back, and, like, he could be himself, and that's why Royce was great. And I think Deontay felt that with Steve. They had a come-to-Jesus meeting last summer. I mean, Deontay told me about it. It was before the Oklahoma State game in the Big 12 tournament. I was talking to him in the hallway, because I'm fascinated by him. Like, he is so misunderstood from – and I heard what Purdue fans were yelling at him, like, behind me, and, like, people that have no clue what this kid is and what he's gone through, whatever. And I asked him about that meeting, and I said, what did Prohm say to you? And he's like, you have to be better. And Deontay just – like, you could tell by the way he was talking, like, he completely put the trust of his entire career into Prohm.
Well,
it was cool. It's a cool deal.
Last year, Deontay put his name in for the NBA draft. People forget that. Think about it. I mean, from where he was mentally then to where he is now.
There was a little bit of concern after last season that Deontay wouldn't even be back.
Yeah.
Dude, this year shaped up way better than it could have when you think about Naz, obviously injury, and Monte, and Deontay.
Well, you talk about
all being back.
Yeah, and you talk about trust, though. Think about the trust Donovan Jackson had to put into Steve Prohm.
Yeah.
To even come – I have too big of an ego. I wouldn't have come to Iowa State if I was Donovan Jackson. He has 2 years to play. He could have gone anywhere and played and been the man. And he trusted those guys and their vision, and he's going to be better off for it in the long run.
Yeah.
So the
practice with Monte for a year is huge for him.
The big question living with Monte.
He lived with him?
Prohm set that up for them to live together.
Wow, smart.
We have no real idea what the future of Iowa State basketball looks like. We can speculate. We got a few players back, new players coming in, but this is the official beginning of Prohm's time at Iowa State without any of Hoiberg's players. So quick synopsis, what do the next 2 years look like for Iowa State basketball, in your opinion?
Well,
is next year a struggle is one of the main questions.
Yeah, I mean, compared to what the last 6 years have been, I think it certainly is. I think if you remember what Iowa's expectations were this year, I think it's similar to Iowa State next year. If you get to an NIT, at this point now, who knows like what they get transfer-wise.
And
they have 4 scholarships to fill, so this team could look drastically different.
Transfers could be huge.
If you get the Justin kid, the JUCO kid.
That'd be a big get.
If you get him, if you get a fifth-year guy who can come in and actually make an immediate impact, and then you sign a JUCO big who can play, like, who knows? We could be talking, and if you get that shooter out of Florida, like –
Darrell Edwards.
Yeah, this could be different. However, I would say right now, if you get to the NIT next year, that would be considered a good season.
Yeah.
And then the year after that, you're setting yourself up to make another tournament run.
Which is good. And then we're off and running.
People just and don't take this as a shot at Fred, because Fred left so much for Steve. But he hadn't recruited a high school player in like 2 years when he left.
Yeah.
He hadn't signed one.
Yeah.
So whoever took this job, if it was Prohm, if it was Otzelberger, if it was Bryce Drew, I'm trying to think of the other guys.
Underwood.
Underwood, doesn't matter. They were going to have this year after this year where it's like where the scholarships are not even at all.
Yeah.
And it was going to be a struggle. So let's just see what they can do with it. But, I mean, they're going to take a step back. You can't lose all those seniors without taking a step back. But, I don't know, I've seen Prohm develop guys who were already good, but
they could be better. They could be better in other ways. Defensively, they could be better.
But
with Babb in there,
yeah.
Jackson's very quick as far as stopping penetration.
This has been the only concern I've had with Prohm is a lot of the players he signed, even going back to last year's class, are better defensive guys than they are on offense. Mm-hmm. And it's like, where's the scoring going to come from?
And we don't know. Like, we could sit here and talk about NIT, NCAA. We don't know because don't know who they're going to be bringing in for the other four guys. The only thing I said this with my podcast with Rob Gray the other day is, you know this. You followed recruiting for years, too, in basketball. Grad transfers are one side, but JUCO and high school guys you get in the spring, you typically don't have the success rate as guys you signed earlier.
Correct.
Usually they're still on the market in the spring for a reason.
They're either an academic risk or
people are trying to fill holes, so all of a sudden they're getting offers from big schools, but they're really not a major, high major type player.
Well, that's this Justin kid. It's weird to me. Iowa State was his first high major offer like 2 months ago, and now Kansas is in on him.
Have you heard anything about that since? Does Iowa State feel good about them?
They like their position, but they also know that Kansas is Kansas. I mean, a kid who's going to JUCO in Kansas. If I were to advise Iowa State on how to recruit that kid, I would say I would pull up the old Tyrone Appleton deal. Yeah. He'd never even played there.
Nope. And we need that guy because he's a rebounder.
Yeah. I wonder, too, and again, you're right, Kansas is Kansas. National titles where you can't compete, but you think about things like they just had their specialized dorm built and stuff. Does Iowa State go that route? Do they have to go that route at some point to ever have a shot head-to-head against a team like that to get players?
It's a good question.
I mean, I think they do. I think at some point we see that dorm get built. There's enough people in Ames that own the land that would do that sort of thing as, you know, friends of the program or whatever. I think it would certainly happen. But and then I saw, you know, North Carolina, I just saw on video that it wasn't a dorm, but their new locker room and stuff is ridiculous. I mean, there's a lot of programs around the country that facilities are wooing these kids. I mean, they got their wall of Jordan shoes like all lit up and stuff. I mean, that stuff's going to impress a 17, 18-year-old.
I know Iowa State's working on some stuff in the Sioux Cup. I was talking to Micah Byers about it in the locker room on would have been Friday before the Purdue game. And because I was admiring the Marquette locker room, it was really cool. Like when you walk into the Marquette locker room, it's like these giant frame jerseys of D Wade and Jimmy Butler and like all these like alums. And Iowa State is getting enough guys who've played in the NBA now in the last from the Hoiberg era. I mean, where you can do some cool stuff like that.
Nobody at that caliber.
No, but still, like to Iowa State, like the name Chris Babb's a big deal in Ames. You know,
yeah. Just getting to the NBA, I think, is legit.
You throw in a Chris Babb jersey in a frame above.
If he made the NBA, yeah.
Why not? What?
Absolutely.
Maybe you guys have some insight.
They already have a wall of the NBA guys. If you make the NBA and you've played at Iowa State, you go on the wall. Period.
I'm genuinely curious. What is next for Naz and Matt? Where do they end up?
Matt will play in Europe for 15 years if he wants, and make a really good living.
Yeah.
And my guess is Naz will try and play. He'll do okay for a while. Naz is going to be a coach.
And it seems like in that profession, probably the earlier you start, the sooner you get a head coach.
Part of me
job.
Would almost advise Naz to go make some money for a couple of years, put some money in the bank.
Because you get paid crap when you first start coaching.
Well, yeah, because you're going to have to be a GA where you're going to make nothing.
Nothing.
You're going to be broke. So go and make $300,000-$400,000, get some money in the bank, and then go and be a GA for Steve Prohm and start your career.
Yeah.
That would be my advice to him, but what do I know?
Iowa State hiring him as a GA would be a home run.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be a no-brainer.
Yeah. And he wants to be a coach.
Yeah. He could be an analyst, too. I think he'd do a good job with that.
What's funny is
– I would advise him to go the coaching route.
This obviously isn't the norm.
He could be a really good one.
But there's situations where people are becoming – and Fred's a great example. People are becoming coaches without ever being coaches.
I mean, Gottlieb?
Well-paid coaches.
Yep.
Is Gottlieb going to get the job? I heard he got an interview, but
– I don't know.
Will they take a flyer on him?
We'll see.
There's definitely something to hire someone who wants to be there.
There's something to it. I mean, I think you got to look at all of your options, but
– could him and Steve swap spots and anyone notice?
Why, because they look alike?
Yeah. It's a poor joke.
Gottlieb has a bigger
nose.
Boys,
I got to head to spring football. Sorry to cut that. We're at 42 minutes. We just spent a lot of time talking about garbage.
What are you going
to
ask today at spring football?
I don't even know who the coaches are today. I honestly I haven't done any.
Any prep on it?
I'll figure it out when I get there.
Okay. Landing's Let me know who's going to be there, and I'll text you a couple questions to ask.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is Lanning pumped about being a starter? And
no, he wishes he was on the bench, Charter. He wishes he wasn't even playing.
Versus a quarterback, you ass. You know? You go from quarterback to linebacker. That's a pretty big change.
Yeah.
I mean, most competitive guys just want to be on the field playing, you know? And if he wasn't going to get all the reps at QB, I assume he is excited about it, but maybe not.
I haven't talked to him. He there's a video. He's a gamer. If anybody can pull that off, it's Joel. It's still glaring what our linebacker situation is, but I think we all knew that too.
Yeah.
Joel's a baller. I mean, he should have been playing linebacker all along.
I think you got to be a little bit nuts to play linebacker in the Big 12. I mean, you have to not care.
He's got a little of that crazy.
Think about the toll it takes on your body. You're putting your head in every play. I mean, you got to get so beat up playing that position. I mean, you have to have that mentality of, like, I just don't care. You know, and most people care. They care about their bodies. They care about getting hurt. They don't want to do that. You got to be a little crazy.
If he's the number one now, you got to think he's going to be number one come the first game of the season, because the only other person that could beat him out would be Hummel, who's coming in from Dowling. And is a true freshman going to come in and beat him out?
No.
So, at this point, starting the first game, you have to believe Lanning's the starting middle linebacker, don't
you?
The only guy who would beat him out is Sutton.
But why is Sutton not number one right now then?
Well, I don't know. I don't know. I do know that they wanted to play him as a true freshman, and then he got hurt. So
our linebackers last year were.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll play him a little bit on O?
Yes.
Goal line type stuff?
Yeah, they'll have packages in.
Jabril Peppers wishes he was Joel Lanning.
That's one of the reasons why Joel was comfortable switching to linebacker, because they promised him he would still play offense.
Do some stuff.
All right. Good. Good talk. Thanks for your time.
Thanks for coming back, Williams.
It's good to be here. It's great to be here.
Sorry about all the porn talk.